the mighty and exalted one. Purify us with your holy fire. We offer you our lives as a living sacrifice. We've come to worship you, Father, in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. May you be praised, Father, honored, glorified during this time of worship. For we surrender to your sovereign will. O Yahweh, you are Elohim. You are the mighty one. The El of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. We thank you, Father, that you are forever faithful. You do exceedingly, abundantly over anything that we could think, ask, or even imagine. Let it be known today that you are Yahweh. Hallelujah.
WRB 3.185, and we're glad to have you in here with us tonight. We're also simulcasting around the world and throughout the nation, ladies and gentlemen, tonight on the internet, and we hope that and trust that you are receiving us wherever that you're picking us up, whether it be shortwave or by the internet source. Tonight we've got a great message. We don't want you to miss it. I want you to stay up and appreciate those that are staying up at the late hour to tune in the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. We're not going to disappoint you. We've got something that's going to really impact your life and give you a vision of things in proper perspective. You know, the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. He come to sow discord. He come to do all the things he's doing, and he come to sow a seed into the earth. And we're going to talk about that tonight. And the entitlement of the seed of the vineyard. We're going, of course, down to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. I will sing before the one I love. You know, if you've ever got in love, you know, you go around singing and thinking about that person all the day long. Here, the prophet said, I will sing for the one I love a song about his vineyard. It's wonderful. My loved one had a vineyard on a fertile hillside. He dug it up and cleared it of stones. He planted it with the choice vines. He built a watchtower in it. And he cut out a wine press as well. Then he looked for a crop of good grapes, but it yielded bad in 5:1, in a vineyard, he had other things that were in the vineyard, like the watchtower, and he fenced it, and that was the protection of the prophecies of the covenant. He wanted you to remain pure, and he wanted you to remain a special people, a holy people. He said, I didn't choose you because you were the most people, but I chose you because you were a special people to me. And the Father, he always told his children, even in ancient Israel, never to go outside and to mix and mingle with the world. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove it. Now, what was within the wall of the promise of the vineyard? Well, of course, peace. Psalms 122, verse 7. Listen as I read. May there be peace within your walls and security within your the citadels. Oh, my, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, if we only knew the peace. And what brings peace is the book of Isaiah, chapter 48, verse 18. As I read you another verse of scriptures, we'll lay some gestalt before we get into the meat of our message. If only you had paid attention to my commands, Yahweh said in Isaiah 48:18, your peace would have been like a river. You notice how peaceful it is when you get around a river? I've always liked to be around water, and it just soothes the soul. I offered you peace. I would have given you peace if you'd have paid attention to my commandments. Your peace would have been like a river, your righteousness like the waves of a sea. My, how disappointing sometimes the Father must be of us as we have slid so far back. We've become cold and indifferent and separated from the commonwealth. Went out and played the harlot, and we've not tinned, we've not watched in the watchtower in the vineyard, and we've let the enemy come in and do certain things to our vineyard that we shouldn't have done. And we broke his first commandments, which is Exodus 20:3, which is, it reads like this. Let me read you the verse of scripture in Exodus 20:3. You shall have no other gods before me. Did you know that the Bible says that Satan is a god of this world? He wanted to be worshipped. He desired to sit on the height of the congregation of the saints. Did you know that he don't care for you worshiping? Satan, he's okay with that. Just as long as he can pervert the worship or mix the worship or include his children in the worship, that they might grow up as the tares in the vineyard. We're going to talk about that tonight. And our text is coming, our gestalt is going to be arrived from Matthew chapter 13. And in verse 3, and he spake many things unto them in a parable. Listen to the parable to educate you about the vineyard, how to keep it clean, how to watch for your soul, how to watch for your family, how to instruct them on how to keep themselves pure and unspotted from the world. You know, Yahweh loves a clean, holy people. He wants genetics like Noah had. Noah had genetics of righteousness. And the definition of the word covetousness is found in Colossians 3:5 and Ephesians 5:5 about adultery. And the first and the last commandment are based on the same principle of covetousness and idolatry. Ladies and gentlemen, we shouldn't covet the world. We shouldn't want to be like the world. And yet we see we got televisions in our homes, and we see all these things that seem right. It seems good, and nothing wrong with it. They're not even embarrassed to show what they show on television, and they give you a false sense of security that the world is okay to mingle and all the seeds mixed together in the vineyard. But that's not true, ladies and gentlemen. If we break one of these commandments, it means that we have broken the whole law. So once we climb over the the wall. Once we get outside the dominion of the safety of the vineyard, when we begin to mix and mingle, by just breaching the wall, we break His commandments. And no matter what part of the wall that we climb over, we will always be on the outside of the whole wall. And you know, a little leaven leavens the whole lump. And that's what the Father, that's why He put the wall there. The wall is segregation. The wall is to keep yourself from the other peoples of the earth who will profane you, who will change you, who will take you to the other gods. And Satan, you know, he's a god of peace. He'll come in peacefully and he will deceive you. And if you notice in Revelations chapter 18, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says, come out of her, my people. Yahweh's people have gone outside the wall of the commandments of Yahweh. They went outside the vineyard. They've left the watchtower. And you know why? Because Satan said, what are y'all so militant about? Why are y'all watching? Why don't you just come over here and let your daughters marry into our sons, and our sons marry into your daughters? And why don't we just be a good family on earth and love everybody? And ladies and gentlemen, that is what Yahweh is telling His people here in Revelation 18, verse 1 through 4. Come out of her. Come out of Babylon. Come out of Egypt. Babylon is a symbol of confusion in the religious world. Egypt is a symbol of the world without God, the heathen. And so those two things is why that the wall is breached. In Ezekiel chapter 13, the church was not in tune with Yahweh. We begin to drift off, and we begin to breach the wall, and nobody would want to repair it. Yahweh sent prophets like Moses, and he warned us in certain aspects of the scriptures, like Deuteronomy chapter 7, to keep ourselves pure and unspotted and make no marriages with the world. You see, Yahweh's got a special people. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, you're always preaching about Yahweh's people are special. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's what the Bible says, that Yahweh has made a special people for Himself. But the third verse, the sower. Now, we got a vineyard, we got it plowed, and we got it cleaned. All the stones and the briars and the thistles and the filth is cleaned off of it. And now we've got a clean ground to plant the vineyard. And when he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. Now, you see, they got outside the wall. These seeds did, and they sprung up, and the fowls came and devoured them. And some fell among stony places where the land hadn't been cleaned. The seed fell over there, and there was not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because that they had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because that they had no root, they withered away. You see, that's like a weak Christian that cannot endure sound doctrine. When they hear these things, it is so provoking to their spirit. They're on milk. They're unskillful. They're not skilled in the word of Yahweh. They do not want to keep themselves. They think everything is okay. When they see the world doing what the world's doing, they think it's okay to go ahead and do the things that they do, but they're outside the wall of the vineyard. Remember when Paul was in the ship, and the ship was being tossed to and fro in life's stormy season, and sometimes your life will get that way, and you'll see all these religious people in churches, and they're all mixed together, and they're singing their songs, and it looks so heavenly and so nice, and everybody is feeling good, and the world loves each other, and they're talking about peace. There is no peace to the wicked, the Bible said. You know, the greatest thing that the Father ever put in the hands of Israel was the battle axe. meant to destroy every nation around about them that became their enemies, that would want to miscegenate and want to come in and mix with the holy seed. Did you know that Noah was righteous in his genetics? And did you know that the rest of the world, including Adam, had miscegenated the seed of Adam, all except Noah and his sons and their wives and Noah's wife? They were the only righteous genetics left from the house of Adam. They'd gone over to the world, the people of the world, and they began to go over the wall, and they began to mix and to mingle. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said a little leaven leavens the whole lump, as I said. So you don't want to get caught up with the flames of the world and the people of the world. Keep yourself unspotted from the world and have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of God. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, if I felt like you did, I just have to leave the world. Well, that's what you'd like to do if you're righteous. You know that we're strangers and pilgrims here, and the world is filthy. It's a vineyard of mixed and mingled seeds, and it's trying to grow up together to believe the lie of the serpent that we're all God's people, and we're not going to die. We're going to be raptured out of here, and we're all going to have a big party, a homecoming party, and that God has got no respect of persons, and he's going to love everybody. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. Yahweh has respect of two persons, not of persons, but two persons. If you're Yahweh's seed, he wants you to be in the fertile field of the vineyard. If you're Satan's seed, we're going to find out that Satan himself began to be actively a planter. We're going to talk about two seeds that's been planted in the garden of the earth. And these seeds are springing up and warring against each other. One is a tare, but it appears to be righteous fruit. It is in the gathering, and it is growing up with the fruit of the vineyard. An expert eye can tell the fruits. Listen to what Yahweh says. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. Now, what does that mean, Pastor Buddy? Either make the tree good and his fruit good. Well, there was two trees in the garden, and these trees vied for supremacy. Satan, being the evil tree, planted his seed in the womb of Eve, and there she became pregnant with Cain. Yahweh, being the good seed, we're talking about the seeds that are purposed in eternity. Ladies and gentlemen, did you know that Adam was not in the transgression? The Bible said he wasn't. Adam was not deceived. Adam was not in the transgression. When the transgression appeared in the garden, it was from someone that came into the vineyard and sowed seed. Now, notice it here. And when he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and notice this, behold, a sword went forth to sow. Now, we're going to, that's the good seed, but we're going to talk about the seed, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given, in the 11th verse. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and to him that hath more abundantly, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that which he hath. Therefore I say, I speak unto them in parables, because they see not, and hearing that they hear not, and neither do they understand. And therefore it is fulfilled in the prophecy of Elijah, or Elias, which saith, by hearing they shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For the people's heart, this good seed that was sowed, is become wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing. You see, they wanted to be like the world. They wanted to keep the world's time. They didn't want to keep Yahweh's festivals. They didn't want to keep Yahweh's Sabbaths. They wanted to go with the world. They wanted to keep Saturday, or Sunday or Friday, doesn't matter, ladies and gentlemen, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, is not necessarily the Sabbath, because the Sabbath is key to the lunar. And nobody wants to keep that because it puts everybody out of sync. It's a hard saying, and who can hear it? And so Yahweh has got a seed in the vineyard that will hear his word. Then he's got seeds in the vineyard that will let the thorns and the cares of this life and the deceitfulness of riches choke out that which should have been good, because there's nobody in the watchtower. The preachers have gone over to Baal. They've become vain in their imagination, professing themselves to be wise. They become orators. Just like Herod was. You know, when the angel smote him because he was speaking like a god, and the people said, oh man, this is a great power of God. And the angel smote him in his belly, and the worms literally crawled out of his belly. Ladies and gentlemen, there is something rotten in Denmark. The Bible would relate to you that these seeds that are sown, that wherefore I talk to them in parables. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. You see, that makes Yahweh respect two persons, not of the two. He said, I said before you, good and evil, choose this day who you'll serve. He knew that an evil seed or some kind of leaven in the lump would cause even good people to go astray and be deceived and fall away to the serpent and the beast power, because there's nobody in the watchtower. The preachers are afraid to preach. They don't have any gumption. They don't have any guts. They don't have any intestinal fortitude to tell you it's not right to mingle together the seeds of the earth. And the kind after kind is now being in, if you will, they've become involved in a giant blender, and they've been homogenized and blended into colors that wasn't even thought of by the Father. When he made everything in earth, he saw it was good, and said, he set boundaries and told them not to cross over. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous people have desired to see what you see and hear what you hear, and have not been able. Hear therefore the parable of the sower. If anyone that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh. There he is. Oh, I knew he was coming out of the seed. He's the seed under the clod, if you will. He was hidden. He was hidden in the Garden of Eden. He appeared when Adam was separated from Eve. You see, Eve was a weaker vessel. She was in the garden alone, and Adam was not present. And when Adam came back into the picture, Eve was already pregnant with the seed of Cain. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you, the warning seeds of the vineyard are still warring today. I will put enmity. This is in Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. I will put enmity between thy seed and the woman's seed. Now, wait a minute now. Let's look at that verse of Scripture again. I will put enmity against. Not that it will be all right. It's okay for the seeds to mingle together. That ain't what Yahweh said. He said, I will put enmity between these two seeds. Notice this here as we read. And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Now, this is in the 13th verse. The serpent beguiled me. That word beguiled is the same one used in the New Testament, and in the Greek it has sexual connotations. The word eat is the Strong's number 389, and if you look it up, one of the definitions of the word eat, which is in the descriptive form, was lay, L-A-Y. I did lay with the serpent, and he beguiled me, took away my innocence. He told me that I was going to have a handsome son just like him. And you told me to be fruitful and to multiply, and he told me that I was going to have someone handsome like him. Well, that's what she bought into, ladies and gentlemen. And Yahweh said unto the serpent, unto Satan, not a snake. Now, it wasn't no snake wriggling through the trees there. The Satan was a beautiful angel. He stood upright on his feet. He was a man. He was made in the image Creator. They all favored. They were all family. And so it was unnatural for her to be affectionately persuaded by the cunning, smooth-talking, crafty snake, which depicts wisdom. That's all that word connotates there, is wisdom. He beguiled her. And Yahweh said, because if thou hast done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field, and upon thy belly shalt thou go. Now, what does that mean? Here he is. If he's cursing the seed of the womb here, that's what he's doing, ladies and gentlemen. Death's fixing to arrive at the womb, at the door of the womb. The first one to depart from the womb was Cain. He died. Death was pronounced upon him. And yet, by pronouncing death upon the firstborn, then the secondborn had to die. You see what I'm talking about? So death appeared into the Garden of Eden, this horrible life-ending thing that we call death. It's so cold, and it's very foreboding, and it's evil. It has nothing to do with the Creator, because he's not a God of the dead. You understand that? He didn't rule over Cain. Cain was of the wicked one, 1 John chapter 3, verse 12. And so then this evil seed had to be crushed. And thus shall thou eat all the days of your life upon thy belly. Meaning that man would fall back to the earth from which he came, the flesh man. This is showing you that the flesh man would go back to the dust. He would eat dust. That don't mean that he would just go around picking up spoonfuls of dirt. These are spiritual parables written into the book of Genesis, chapter 3, for you to understand that the book of Matthew, chapter 13, is actually talking about the experience of two super gods in the Garden of Eden, one being Satan, the archangel, the other being Yahweh. One was well-groomed. One was very handsome. One was greatly to be desired. One was very comely and not to be desired. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, he was the tree of life. You see, death promises you so many things if you'll transgress. If you'll go with the world, if you'll get you a 501(c) license and preach a lie. Did you know that the 501(c) agenda of the government was to entice you to break the code and to break the commands of the commandments of Yahweh of Deuteronomy chapter 7 and other scriptures related? And this scripture right here is the mainstay. This is the foundation. This is the gestalt of understanding for you to know the spiritual things that are hid from the wise and the prudent, and they're revealed only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel who have a spiritual understanding. And some of them will fall. Some of them will be tried. Some of them will fall upon the wayside. Some of them will be deceived by the deceitfulness of riches and run after the almighty dollar and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. They love the wages of unrighteousness. But some will get the message, and they'll climb up to the top of the watchtower, and they'll sound the alarm, and they will repair the breach in the wall, where Satan and his agents are now sowing tares into the field, which is the world. And we're going to prove that to you. And I will put enmity, verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed, Satan. How did Satan get a seed there, ladies and gentlemen? I tell you, it says it. This is the sower that went forth to sow. The good sower was to be Yahweh. The bad sower is Satan. And these are the two spiritual beings that were to get the prototype for life to come into the world. Instead, death made its entrance through the cursed seed of the serpent. And therefore, every man, woman, and child that breached reaches through the womb. When we enter into this world, we are a dead man. We are bound to die. Death has no respect of persons. It's once appointed, and you will make that appointment. But there's something wonderful. If you love Yahweh, if your name's on the Lamb's book, if you're one of His spiritual children, He's going to send you an unction of the Holy Ghost. He's going to teach you to keep yourself pure and unspotted, to keep your seed line perfect in the eyes of Yahweh. This is the wall of protection that Yahweh put around the vineyard in the book of Isaiah, chapter 5. But the bad seed was when Satan came into the Garden of Eden and sowed that miserable death seed. When he sowed Cain, who was rejected, who could not ever come back into the kingdom. He was forever banned outside in the third dimension. The flesh man shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so then, this flesh man cursed. Yahweh had to come in his perfected state and bring life back to the seed or back to the vineyard. And when he came, he became the author of eternal life. When he said, my sheep will hear my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. They will not plant their seed in a bad field. They will keep themselves unspotted, and the woman between the seed of the bad guy, that was Satan, I will put enmity between your seed. Cain was the first seed. And then we go on and on and on with the bad seed that's mentioned in the Bible. These are the tares that were sowed in the field of Matthew chapter 13 and in the book of Genesis chapter 3. This is very plain to me. And yet so many people wrestle to their own death and destruction because they have no knowledge. They don't want to face reality. That God has got a special people, and to them only is the commandments given. Did you know that there's only one roll call in heaven? And did you know that there's only one people? And that people was with him from the foundation of the world. They came over here. And nobody's going back to heaven except he that came out of heaven. If you've never been to heaven, then you can bet one thing, you're not going back. If you've ever been there, you can believe one thing. He's not going to lose you because he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance, and he will let the world turn until the last seed, righteous seed, is gathered out of the vineyard into his barn for safekeeping. Yahweh said, I have lost none. Oh, my, what a wonderful, beautiful picture here. I will unto the woman... He said, and to the seed of the serpent, between thy seed I will put enmity. You will fight in war, and as it was in the womb of Rebekah, in the book of Genesis, did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that there was a war going on in her womb? And you know, do you know why? It was because that Rebekah had distress, and she was bearing children, and she wanted to know what was wrong with her belly. There was a warfare, and Rebekah conceived, and Isaac entreated Yahweh for his wife in verse 21 of Genesis chapter 25, and Yahweh was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Now, Yahweh was entreated. What did Yahweh have to do with this? Well, let's look at again at the same episode of Genesis chapter 3, where we had a good seed and a bad seed. Here again, we have the continuation of the seeds in the vineyard. And we notice that Rebekah is pregnant, and she was very pregnant, and the children bore, and there was in the days fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb, and the first came out red all over like a hairy garment, and he called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold of Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 30 cunning hunter. And Jacob was a plain man, dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison. And Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed a pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And he desired a pottage, and he sold his birthright, ladies and gentlemen. We know that the elder had a birthright. And here the elder was evil. Yahweh hated Esau before he was ever born. Now, what change do you think that he had to get saved? What if it was your child? What if it was your grandchild? And you just know that the child was good. Esau was good. He went hunting for his father. He was admired by his father. He liked him because he was a man. Jacob was a little spindly runt, and he was a mama's boy, and he hung around in the tent and wouldn't even go out in the woods. He's probably afraid. Afraid something grabbed him out there. But old Esau, boy, he was a woodsman, and he was a hunter, and he was an Isaac type of a fellow. But did you know that the Bible said that Yahweh hated Esau? I don't care how good he was. I don't care how much, how many deer he could kill, how many venison he could bring in, how many pleasures he could provide for his daddy. It's not a flesh and blood issue here, ladies and gentlemen. And Yahweh hated Esau, but he loved Jacob. And so we know that the Bible says that when Esau and Jacob were to be blessed, the blessing went to the younger. And so, therefore, we know that Yahweh was in charge of the battle of the seeds of the vineyard. Again, we have this demonstration. Here we're talking about that Yahweh is telling us that there is a being that goes through the earth, and he sows seed. He sows the seed of discord. He sows the seed of disruption. He sows the seed of death. But he promises life. It looks good. It grows up. It's a weed. It's a tare. But it looks good. And even an expert farmer, when he's letting it grow up together, he can't tell where the weeds and the tares are. They all look identical. And so then, when the harvest comes, ain't that what Yahweh said? Let them go until the harvest. And then I will send my angels. Now here's what the angels are going to do. They're going to sever. They're going to root out all of the tares. And they're going to gather them up first. And they're going to burn them. Oh, my. You say, well, I thought God loved everybody. Well, here it says that these tares, and you've got to have a ear to hear this, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to have a heart to understand it. You've got to be spiritually oriented to get this message that Pastor Buddy's putting on you tonight. You can't be carnal-minded. You've got to have a connection back to the homeland. You've got to be from the high country to understand what I'm talking about. Hear thou for the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and understands it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart, and that is that which was received seed by the wayside. You see, Satan and his angels are ministers of righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Read the whole chapter there. You'll see that Satan, and in 1 Corinthians 4 and 4, it said Satan is a god of this world. You see, Satan is a god, and gods have to be worshipped. And Satan desired to sit above the congregation of the north. He wanted to exalt his throne above Yahweh's. In other words, he wanted to make his seed superior. And so then, he sought out, because you see the carnal, or the flesh man, he's always warring against the inward man, or the spirit man, and most of the time he wins. The spirit man has to take a back seat. He has to sit down. But if you'll train your body, if you'll fast, if you'll pray, if you'll cry out to the living God for the water that causes the seed to grow into the earth, and you'll become like the mustard seed that we're going to get in here in just a minute. And he that received the seed into stony places is he that heareth the word, and with joy he receives it. And yet, yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, they're offended. You know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? You can't take the heat. You got to get out of the kitchen. You want to conform and be like the 501c churches of today. You want to keep Christmas and you want to keep Easter and you want to keep all those pagan days that they have paraded around and changed Christianity into a joke. It is a new joke to see these people and these merchants that have waxed rich off the stupidity of the Bible Belt people. Well, you come down here in the South, and I mean, we're all gung-ho. We're Bible-thumping. We go to church every Sunday, but we're as pagan and carnal as all get-out. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. He that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word and the cares of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understands it, bears fruit, and bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. And verse 24, as I hurry along here, another parable put he forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man which sowed good seed in the field. He that soweth good seed. Did you know that Abel, the one that Cain killed, Cain was of the wicked one, and Abel was of Yahweh? Did you know in the lineage of Adam that neither Cain nor Abel are identified in the fifth chapter of the book of genealogy of Adam? Neither one of those. Cain was of the wicked one, and Abel was of Yahweh. Cain slew the son of Yahweh. Just like when Yahweh came in a flesh body when he overshadowed Miriam. Then here come the same seed line of Cain and kill him. Come, they said, let us, this is the heir of the vineyard. This is the good seed, let us kill him, and then we can take over the whole world. But ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that's what they've got planned? That Cain's seed is ruling in the high places. They love the chief seats. They're in the governments and the institutions. They've become perverted, godless, haters and despisers of the righteous. And while he slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the vineyard and went his way. You see, ladies and gentlemen, old Satan has not been seen since the garden. Nobody has captured a picture of this elusive figure, and yet he's a real being. He's not a figment of your imagination. You can bank on that. He and his angels are living today, just like Gabriel and his angels are living today, and just like the Messiah, they came and got him a flesh body. He's in that body right now. His wounds in it. He got up today and looked around and surveyed, and he's aware of everything that's going on earth. Don't you think that his angels don't ride through the heavens in the chariots and they behold the sons of men? Don't you know, as it was in the days of Noah, when the sons of God, these mighty ones, these angels, they came down and they lusted, just like Satan lusted in the garden for the beautiful Eve. And the Bible says that these other angels transgressed just like Satan did, and they all have reason to fear Yahweh. They know that they broke his commandments. They know that they've gone over the wall, and they know that there's no return. There's no forgiveness. No, not forever. You know why? Because it's a direct the command of disobedience to the Holy Ghost. They blasphemed the Holy Ghost. They spoke evil of Yahweh. They don't want Yahweh. They don't want to retain Yahweh in their knowledge. They are forever erring. They're forever going away from the truth rather than coming to the truth. And while Yahweh sowed the good seed, then came the wicked one, the enemy, and he sowed the tares, and he went away. And when the blade was sprung up, and it brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares, also the seed of Cain. A living reality, a seed that is from the bowels and the sperm, or the seed of Satan, sown right in the earth. yet Satan, the god of this world, has blessed them with riches and deceitfulness. And the people that are not wise, the people of the faith that love riches, they pursue after these evil people. They know they're evil. And yet they can't withstand it. They covet. They want to run with the world. They want to keep up the world. They want the joys. They don't want to do like Moses. Moses forsook the pleasures and the enjoyment of Egypt to live with the little small Hebrew family that was being mistreated and overrun. He stood up for them. Are you going to stand up for Yahweh in this last day? Are you going to take issue with the devil tonight and tell him to get behind you? Are you going to press toward the mark? You're going to have to stand before the king and answer to these things. And you know, a lot of people don't want to answer to these messages that Pastor Buddy preaches. They try to ignore them and hope I'll go away. But ladies and gentlemen, whether I go away or whether I stay, it doesn't matter. The word's forever settled and nothing can be added to it, and certainly nothing taken away from it. If you love him, it's time for you to decide. Just take your stand on Yahweh's side. He said, choose this day who you will serve. And so the servants of the household, they came and said unto him, sir, did you not sow good seed in the field? But here we have in the vineyard, we have tares growing. And he said unto them, verse 28 of Matthew 13. I'm fixing to close, ladies and gentlemen. And he said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, what will you? Should we go and gather them up? Listen to what he said. And he said, no. At least while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. But let them both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, oh my, gather ye together first the tares. Ladies and gentlemen, it ain't going to be a happy day. It ain't going to be the 501(c)(3) church crowd that is brought about all of these disruptions and breaking of Yahweh's laws and commandments that swear they're going to heaven. They're going to be raptured out. They're going to be raptured out. Right? Listen to this. Go gather first the tares, a rapture, and bind them in bundles. Oh, they're going to be all gathered up. And burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Oh, my, ladies and gentlemen, you got my message tonight about the vineyard and the seed that was sown within. Remember, it had a wall around it. That's the protection of the cleanness and the genetics of Yahweh. Yahweh himself, we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And to take it and mix it and mingle it with the seed of a snake is unimaginable. There's people in today that will mix their blood. They've been taught, they have been shown that it's okay and the world's righteous. It's just like when you eat unclean meat. You're not going to die. Matter of fact, you'll probably get fat and sassy and carnal. But there's going to be a day when you'll have to pay for all the sins of your breaking Yahweh's laws and his commandments. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, that Yahweh is going to require everything that he's put into this earth for you to observe? If you don't observe it, if you don't walk upright, if you don't fear him, if you don't serve him, if you don't keep yourself pure and unspotted from the world. You know, the devil is dirty, and he loves to mess up something clean. You know, his mission is to kill, it's to steal, it's to destroy, it's to pollute, it's to mix his seed in so many forms, ladies and gentlemen. There's only one race that can blush tonight. That's Adam's race. Adam was ready. David was ready. The Messiah was ready. He was able to blush. Ezra was able to blush. David was able to blush. The Messiah was able to blush. All of these had the blushing ability. That means they had a conscience for their sin. Do not take your blushing ability and mix your genetics with something that can't and defile your offspring and make them twofold more the child of hell than you were to begin with. Remember my message tonight. You've got it. And Yahweh richly bless you. Now, we'll be back tomorrow night on WWRB 3.185 Crew Channel around the world. We'll be back tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. That's on Wednesday night. Tune in at 10 o'clock. We'll have another message for you on the Shepherd's Call with Pastor Buddy. If you'd like to go to our website tonight, I'd like to tell you how to get there. You simply go to www.oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. That's where our website is. We have hundreds and hundreds of hours of recorded messages put there by Brother Bob, faithfully posted. We have messages on the subject, on the tares and the wheat. So you can listen to more of these messages that we have on the website. We also have articles. We also have occasions where that you can go and listen to music, and you can download the PDF files that Bob has got posted up there for you. We've got hours and hours and hours of reading and instruction. You know the Bible says in Hosea 4 and 6, my people are destroyed, and they love to have it so. They don't want to study. They don't want to learn about Yahweh and His ways. They want to go the world way. That's what they were doing in the days of Baal. They were going Baal's way. Baal had convinced them it's okay to mix and mingle with all the nations around about them. And Israel went a-whoring and separated. And in doing so, they become blind, miserable, naked, and wretched. Ladies and gentlemen, that'll happen to you if you fail to not obey the gospel. The gospel has been given you tonight with love and courtesy brought to you by those who love Yahweh. And tonight, Brother Mark, this is a message from Brother Mark, sent to you with his love, with his tithes and offerings. Sponsor me tonight on WWRB 3.185. We love you tonight with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You can write me, that's Pastor Buddy, at Post Office Box 2284. It's 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, let me spell it for you. That's New, N-E-W. Tazewell is T-A-Z-E-W-E-L-L. New Tazewell, Tennessee. 37824. My telephone number, and I'm live tonight here on a Tuesday evening. On the East Coast, it's 11. Central Time, it's 10. And in the West Coast, it's probably about 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock on the West Coast, 9 o'clock Mountain Time. So the further west we go, the earlier it is, and the further east we go, the later it is. And that's the way that time works. And we love you tonight. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like information concerning this message that I preached to you tonight, I wish you'd reach out. Have faith in yourself. Get some grit and determination and stand up and take a stand for Yahweh. Because we're living in an evil time when there's not going to be any of the house of Israel's flesh saved. Simply because Satan has got a plan to put you out of business, racially speaking. So you need to call me. Area code 423-626-2172. You can write me, like I said, at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Or you can go to our website. That's oneyahweh.com. I'll see you on behalf of Brother Mark. From the great state of Mississippi, this is Pastor Buddy. I'll see you tomorrow night around the world, sponsored by Dr. Gary, Brother Paul, and all of the saints that keep hands of Pastor Buddy, raised toward the King. I'll see you tomorrow night, 10 o'clock, live on WWRB 3.185. And Yahweh's richest blessings be there with you as we close tonight. I'd like to let you reach out and get this hand that I'm going to offer you. And Yahweh's richest blessings would be to you.
And those hands were nailed to a tree.